we have seen in our studies that Elijah had just stood before the king of Israel and delivered the message of judgment that God had given him. Now, the next word from God is a command to hide himself away. We saw in our previous studies that the place that Elijah would be hidden away was Cherith, the brook Cherith. The word Cherith means to cut off or to cut down. God has cut off Elijah from public view so that he might cut him down to size. One of the hardest lessons the child of God will ever learn is that God must send you to the Cherith before he can use you for his glory. The nature of that place, Cherith, is that it is a hidden place. God told Elijah to hide himself. Of all the lessons that we can learn from these verses, one of the most powerful is that we must never overlook the power of the hidden life. We all need to learn the value of the hidden life. You see, there is a part of us the world sees and a part of us that they do not. It is the part that men do not see that defines us. It is that time spent alone in the presence of God that can make us great for his glory. How much time are you devoting to this hidden life? We must understand the necessity of being in the place of Cherith, the place of being cut off. Notice the use of the word there. Cherith was a specific place. It was the only place Elijah could be and be right with God. When the Lord sends us to a difficult place in life, there is the tendency to want to be somewhere else. Yet, who likes pain, who likes sickness, who likes financial trouble, who likes struggle, but we must learn that it is God that sends us to Cherith. He knows what he's doing. The place ordained, Cherith. The promise that God offers Elijah. Elijah sent to the middle of nowhere to hide. There's nowhere to hide there. The place of being cut off. When God sends you the Cherith, you must understand that it has involved advanced planning. Before the need arose, God already had the provisions in place of Cherith, the Babylon Brook, and I should say not Babylon Brook, but the Bubbling Brook. The Bubbling Brook and the ravens had been prepared. God had made provision with a bubbling brook and ravens to bring the food. Notice in verse 5 of 1 Kings 17, the phrase, "So he went and did according to the word of the Lord." When God called, Elijah simply stepped out in faith and obeyed. That is the secret to surviving your Cherith experience. Coming to the place where we do not question God. God had ordained Cherith, and God had made a promise to provide in Cherith. Wherever God has brought you to, he has ordained that place, and he has promised to take care of you. The place of Cherith, the place of being cut off, of being cut down. Realize this. God has ordained that place. God has promised to provide in that place. And God has ordered that place. It's a sovereign plan of God. It's a satisfying plan of God. And also, it must be a submissive plan by us. He went and dwelt by the brook. The word dwelt means to live. He lived there. The whole purpose in God's plan was to help Elijah come to the place where he could trust God for one day at a time. Has God brought you to that place? where he has forced you to trust him one day at a time? Have you come to learn what the word says? To give no care for tomorrow, for today has enough of its own troubles. The Lord will provide in the place that he has ordained. He has promised to take care of you in that place. And God has ordered that place. And we must realize it has been all orchestrated by God. The dry brook, the stream of life-giving water, ran dry. Imagine how Elijah must have felt as he watched that stream grow smaller each day. One day, its voice wasn't as loud as it had been before. As the days passed, the little brook began to get narrow. Then one day, it was all gone. Nothing was left but a dry stream bed. This happens to us as well. That job we have invested our lives in dries up. The mate that God has given us completely walks out on us. Our health has always been robust. Our health breaks down regardless of the circumstances. The brook has dried up. When we are faced with these kinds of trials, we must never lose sight of two great truths. First, the God who provides the water can also withhold the water. He is in control of our lives. As Elijah was about to find out, God had another place already prepared for him. God already has a place prepared for you, brother, for you, sister. When our brook dries up, God has another channel of blessing already lined up for us. And realize this, very important. A dry brook is not always a sign of God's displeasure. Certainly, God uses the events of life to chasten us when we walk outside of his will. However, there are times when he will let your brook dry up in the midst of your serving him. It happened to Abraham when he was called on to offer up Isaac. It happened to Joseph as he ministered in Potiphar's house. It happened to Paul as he faithfully served God in Lystra. It happened to Jesus as he agonized at Gethsemane and as he gave his life a ransom for sin on Calvary. Sometimes the brooks of life dry up because God is pleased with us. He's not necessarily chastising you. Elijah wasn't being chastised. He had obeyed what God had told him to do. He went before Ahab, delivered the prophecy, and then no sooner does he deliver the prophecy than the Lord brings him to the place of being cut off or being cut down. God was pleased with Elijah. And many times God is pleased with us, but he desires to take us on to new and better things. He knows us. And he knows that we would be reluctant. Realize this, brother. He knows that we would be reluctant to leave a place where everything was going perfectly. Therefore, he will dry up our brook, causing us to be willing to go where he leads us. Sometimes God allows the brooks to dry up because we're guilty of trusting the brook more than we trust him. We're to learn to look to the Lord and not to his gifts. Even when the gifts are gone, we're to trust him by faith. How often do we look at God's gifts towards us, God's gifts to us? We look to the gifts as opposed to looking to the Lord. I can hardly imagine how Elijah must have felt as that brook dried up before his eyes. I wonder if he had felt abandoned and forsaken. Have you felt abandoned and forsaken by the Lord because that brook has dried up? I wonder if Elijah felt that God had somehow let him down. Have you ever felt abandoned by the Lord when one of your brooks dried up? I just want you to know that God hasn't forsaken you. In fact, when you're standing there looking at a dried up brook, you are more his concern. More his concern at the dried up brook than at any other time. He cannot forget you. Notice his promise. in Isaiah 49:14-16. He has not forsaken you, brother. Isaiah 49, verses 14-16. But Zion said, the Lord has forgotten me, and my Lord has forgotten me. Can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Your walls are continually before me. The dry brooks of life are continually before the Lord. He ordained them. He ordered them. He provides for them there. God will often allow his people to sit by a drying brook when it happens. And it will. Take it to the bank. It will happen. Never believe for an instant that God has somehow forgotten about you or forsaken you. If you are in his will, where he wants you to be, then you can rest in his promise to take care of you. Like Elijah, when your brook dries up, God has a new channel of blessing that he will reveal in his time. For Elijah, that dried up brook should have been something to shout about. Why? Because of two things. His prayers had been answered. And secondly, his prophecy had been fulfilled. Elijah's dry brook came about because God was pleased with the prophet. That doesn't make sense from a human standpoint, but it is true nonetheless. We need to come to the place where we understand that God dries up the brooks of life because he has something even bigger just down the road. Sometimes the brooks dry up because you have done everything correctly. God has just chosen that dry brook as the vehicle to move you to a new place of blessing. Remember that God is sending Elijah to school. He's training a prophet. He's building a man of God. God knows that before Elijah can stand in power of Mount Carmel, he must first be broken as Cherith. Do you realize, brother, that brokenness comes before glory? That brokenness comes before being used mightily by the Lord. God's goal with Elijah is the same in our lives today. Many of us have gone to the same school that Elijah went to. Many of us have graduated from this university of being cut off, of being cut down, and others are just enrolling. If you've just come to school, if this is your first day, learn these lessons well. Brooks are beginning to dry up in your life. You wonder what to do and how you're going to make it. My advice today is that you come to the place early where you roll everything off onto the Lord and you trust him to take care of you at the Brook Cherith, at the place of being cut off and being cut down. He has not forgotten you. He has brought you to that brook and dried up that brook to bless you, to cause you to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. If you're a child of God, may he help you to come to the place where you realize that everything that happens in your life is part of God's plan for you. Romans 8:28 is still the same. All things work together for good. For those that are called, for those that love the Lord, all things, brother. That dry brook, sister, is working together for good to conform you into the image of Christ. And nothing can happen in you or to you that he does not allow. Just sit down and read the book of Job. Sit down and read the book of Job. For me, that makes all my dried up brooks easier to deal with. When I look at the life of Job, if there is a need this morning, if there is a need this evening, I want you to bring it to the Lord. If salvation is your need, then come. If you're standing there looking at a brook that's drying up in front of you, I want you to come, brother. I want you to come, sister. I want you to come and be blessed. I want you to be comforted and edified by these words from God. If you need the Lord to move in your life, I want you to come. I want you to trust. I want you to walk by faith. If you feel abandoned and forsaken by God, I want you to come. Don't ever forget those words that I read to you previously from Isaiah 49, verses 14 through 16. But Zion said, the Lord has forgotten me. And my Lord, But Zion said, the Lord has forsaken me. And my Lord has forgotten me. This is not true for the children of God. Don't be as Zion was. The Lord has forsaken me. My God has forgotten me. That's not possible. God's argument in Isaiah is, can a woman forget her nursing child and not have compassion on the son of her womb? Surely they may forget. That nursing mother may forget her child. She may not have compassion on the son of her womb. But God in Isaiah says, surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Trust God in Cherith. Trust God in the place of being cut off and cut down. Surely they may forget, yet I will not forget you. Verse 16, Isaiah 49. See, I have inscribed you on the palms of my hands. Notice, your walls are continually before me. Your walls are continually before me. The place that God has brought you to, God has ordained. The place that God has brought you to, God has ordered. The place that God has brought you to, He has promised to provide for you. Be encouraged. Be edified. Thank your Father today. Ask Him to forgive you for your doubting, for your thinking that He would not provide for you. Come, let us worship the Lord together. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ.